Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, everybody.
And Sean Finnegan.
How's it going?
It's going great. Galahorn's for sale. Zer's in the tower selling
it. The day of days.
Yes. Month away from taking King.
Yes. Very close. We're going to talk about the Galahorn a little bit later. We're also going to discuss Destiny's most exciting new systems that we've heard about with the Game Informer exclusive. And Destiny's new Crucible maps that were, and a new mode we learned about that we're really excited about.
There's still more details to come.
But first, let's talk about how they're reworking the game and some of the things that we're excited about, starting with the RNG system. So the quote from Game Informer is, "Bungie has fine-tuned the algorithms under the game's hood, which govern random equipment drops. Now you'll be more likely to receive armor and weapons that you actually care to collect. The journey from the weakest gear to the best has been smoothed over, so you shouldn't have to wait nearly as long between finding something you actually care to equip." Do you think they've solved the problem?
Well, what needs to be solved?
Right now, you collect marks and you go into the tower and you buy all your gear and you're good.
But meaning, here's what's some of the pain points currently. You get a billion dragon's breaths for starters.
Yeah, if you're talking weapons.
You get stuff you already have. Mm-hmm. You run into these situations where it's like, wait, why did I get, you might even get Necrochasm. You're only going to get that once. But you might get something like Galahorn twice even. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but I need Fourth Horseman. So the point is, it's not looking at your inventory. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it might now, right? Is duplication still going to happen? Probably, though, because you need to still get drops and shard them. But I'm guessing the point is, they've refined it, understanding a little more, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big question. Is it going to understand what you need, even if there's duplication? Or is it really just going to drop stuff at a better rate? In which case, you'll get more stuff.
More drops.
But that's all that would mean.
They said that they were fixing this with the Dark Below raid system where you get stuff that you need, but I didn't really see that much of a change.
I saw more stuff.
I got the weapons faster. I got the whole set faster, but it still wasn't ideal. It took me a long time to get the armor set. But now your light level isn't tied to your armor set, so.
Trip down memory lane though, right? Remember how much of a pain it was just to get a legendary in the original, and let alone an exotic.
Level it. Yeah.
And then all the above. And then, you just were grinding so hard. So they did tune that up in Dark Below.
Definitely.
You got a lot more drops.
Mm-hmm. I think there still has to be some sort of randomization element, because otherwise they don't feel as valuable.
So if you are in RNG.
Yeah, exactly.
There will be, yeah.
It feels awesome when you've spent a lot of time and you get the thing you finally need. It's awesome.
It's frustrating until then, though.
Yeah, but that's welcome to loot collection games. Diablo's like that. WoW was like that. Borderlands is like that. There needs to be some value in chasing the item, and I think you create that by not always getting what you want immediately. That said,
definitely.
It's super frustrating when you spend a ton of time investing into getting an item, and then you can't even use that item. Like, you get a hunter helmet when you're a titan, and you're like, why? Well, I now this has to be sharded. I can't even use it for whatever, yeah. right? That's – if they can improve on –
That is an interesting one. If yeah. they might have – I'd love them to drop that. Like, maybe there are some benefits that other people see, but, like, I think, like, why drop – like, why assume that I'm going to transfer it to my other character? Like, mm-hmm. just give it to yeah. me on those characters.
Well, they're already working on that, like, ascendant materials. Or not ascendant materials, but armor materials instead of plat steel and helium filaments. Now they're all just,
like,
you
one
know,
thing.
One
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But sorry, I kind of cut you mm-hmm. off there. But
that'd
be
interesting. Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, like, yeah. I think that's probably where I see Bungie doing the most of that addressing, is making sure that the items that drop aren't necessarily more or less random, but that they're a little bit more focused to the character itself. Mm-hmm. Because I still think the randomization element has to exist in order to create value for chasing it.
Yeah but I think it just needs to look... Because the thing that's missing in the current RNG system that they have is it doesn't look at what's happening. It rolls the dice. That's just how it works, basically. I mean, I'm sure there's a few other fine...
I mean, that's literally what...
But that's it. It's literally rolling dice, and yeah. it's like how many ever numbers yeah. roll to get your Galahorn. Like, you could potentially, even though the odds aren't there, never get Galahorn, yeah. right? Like, you could never get it. But my point is, it'd be nice if it understood a little more, like, don't drop two Fatebringers at once.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stuff
or
like
two
that.
Of the same helmet with the same stats.
Exactly.
That's happened to me
right?
before.
And that's
kind of very strange.
Where I think they could look at the obvious things and be like, if this happens, no.
Yeah.
yeah probably
it's just an if-then. There you go, Bungie. Problem solved.
What I Fran's, noted it. It's
Fran solved it for you.
What it, most
it was
like,
there all the time.
No, but what Fran's right. Like, it's most likely just a set of sub-algorithms that mm-hmm. are, say, like, if this, then that type mm-hmm. thing yeah. that modify the current RNG system.
Exactly. But the point of it is, if RNG...
Do this while not equal
let's,
to...
Let's write it down now yeah, and just send
yeah.
it to them.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll email
the
you guys.
You.
It's solved.
If greater than 9 dragon breaths, then but, one yeah. Galahorn.
No, but literally, stuff like that, right? Like, if you've gotten this too much, and if you can do that, mm-hmm. Obviously that wasn't the original intention.
Yeah.
But the way I would put it, right, is RNG today lives outside of the plane of your existence.
Yeah.
It just happens. And what it needs to do is somehow live inside, you know, whatever veil is there and say, oh, you exist. Oh, you've gotten 4 dragon breaths. I'm just going to re-roll. And if you have everything, then that brings up a new thing, too. Like, if it is looking at stuff, well, that is where, obviously, you're going to have to get duplicates of yeah. stuff. And but the point is, with some thought, I think they can really improve the system.
Some of the other systems that they're introducing are, like, Xur's 3 of coins, which is going to increase drop rates of gear. So that's going
to
be really yeah. good. And they're also going
to
have...
be, like, a new consumable.
Yeah, so it's yep. going to be probably a new consumable. You pop that before you go in the raid. Go through the raid. Get all the goodies.
So I was wondering you know? That, though, if it's, like... I'm wondering if... Here's what I think. Mm-hmm. You're going to buy it for the... I don't know if it's going to be a week or... It's got to be a long period of time, but you can... You know, it just sort
you
of works
You think they're only
going
to let you have
the
one?
The way I see it working is a lot like the Iron Banner buff. Like, you go to the NPC, you buy it for not
that's
free.
That's time-based.
2 months.
No, yeah.
yeah
but that's
but
what
it's
I think
long.
Is,
it's like...
Yeah, it's 16 hours 16 or something
hours,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But that's how I see it working is because, like, it can't be...
Too short.
Yeah, because it's going to be – you have to assume that the raid is going to take
right.
some time.
See, I would mm-hmm. yeah. See, I was thinking it might actually work all the way through. Like, they said boss. So whatever that means, I was thinking once you hit a boss
– Oh,
in
you
the,
think it's
progression-based? Well, here's how I would do it. Like, mm-hmm. it's based on when you have the chance to get that roll.
Yeah.
So if it's Atheon or it's Crota or it's Oryx mm-hmm. or if they have the other boss in there or something, like, those are your chances. Within the week, it's consumable at that point yeah. when you've beat him. But until then, it's not gone. Because why should I have to rush once I buy this thing from Xur? And Xur
wow.
leaves. So.
Because then there's no downside to buying. That's the thing. It's like I feel like
well,
no, you have to spend you have
already
to spend
now
money
there's
on
no
it.
Downside.
Well, we don't know
yeah.
what it's gonna cost yet, but the downside mm-hmm. would be I don't know, I feel like
but it could here's the difference, right? I was wondering if like why even speculate? We'll know soon, but
yeah.
We've got nothing else to talk about. you know, you either buy it once and you have one chance at it, which is what makes it so special. Mm-hmm. Because maybe it really is like a great roll, or you just keep buying it and going back in and buying it and going back in. You know, I'm wondering
why can't
if
you just buy like 20 and then use them as needed?
Well, because it's probably a buff. You probably can't.
It's a pretty big buff. Yeah,
I'm pretty
again.
Sure it's consumable.
No, see, I feel like it's what. Yeah, you can't.
The thing is, like, so if they're going to introduce something that is obviously a benefit to the player, then there needs to be a downside to it too.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like
what I'm
saying.
Can't
just be an overall buff because then why would you never go? Why would you?
Yeah,
why would you ever do anything
coins.
Without it?
It yeah. wouldn't be that special. That's what I'm getting
at. Yeah, like, why would you ever do anything without it? It was just a blatant beneficial buff to you all the time,
like, let's
right?
put it this way. Imagine
– So a timer to me makes sense, right?
Look
because
it this way.
You have to do it in that time, right? Or else it runs out. And if you can't accomplish all the stuff you need to in the time allotted, you have to spend more money.
Yeah.
Which is how that it's seems like how it should work.
I was thinking of it almost like a Nightfall, right? Like, imagine that
it's a
one time
consumable
you...
that will increase the chance of getting an exotic drop from your next boss kill.
Right, but it's
but
probably
it
still time.
How it works.
Even the consumables. Yeah. So that's the thing is like the consumable versus a buff doesn't really matter because when I reference the Iron Banner buff, that's a timed thing, right?
Yeah.
Same
well, it
like
says,
your
it says
telemetries
you activate
or your...
it. You activate it and it works until you kill the next boss that you kill. That's where your increased chance happens.
Right, but the point is we don't know if you can buy another one. That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
Right? Well, if you can buy another one, you
keep
doing it.
That's kind of weird.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then, like, let's say there's three bosses. We don't know that there's that many or that there's more than that. But let's say you buy 5, 10, 15 or whatever, and then you just activate it before each boss.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's a consumable, so I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to get
a
bunch.
See, I don't know if I like
but
that.
But it's not guaranteed. Not guaranteed. It just increases your chances. It doesn't guarantee
But that
anything.
Wasn't an interview quote, right? That was what they printed. Game Informer, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could bring it back up.
So the point, you know, look, we're just speculating for fun here, but it doesn't mean like you could call the buff for Iron Banner a consumable almost. Like it's not really.
We don't pay anything
maybe
for
they
it.
Just are calling it like that. So we don't really know how it works yet.
Well, we'll find out very soon. The other item I wanted to talk about before we moved on. Was the ghost shells. They're going to do some cool stuff. Like, they're going to give you a light boost. We still don't know how the light and leveling... the leveling system...
Light is now separate.
Yeah, it's totally separate. So the leveling system is going to be like more like an MMO or RPG where you just kind of level up as you play. Yeah. Level 34s, you're not going to get kicked down, so don't worry about that. We know that from the live stream that we did. But these new ghost shells, they're going to give you a light boost, and they're also going to like tell you when you're nearby spin metal or helium filaments or anything. I think that's kind of a cool thing. Though you can just use marks to get that stuff now, so it's a little less valuable.
Right.
Like, remember when we used to have to run in circles and collect helium filaments and spin metal? That would have been a great time to have these shells.
Yeah.
Now it's just kind of like I have 400 spin metal.
But
so,
you have to assume that there's going to be a bunch of different... shells that do a bunch of different things, those are just two of the ones that they specify.
No, this is
how
this is
may,
one that has two buffs on it, so it does the light thing and it gives you like notifications when you're near.
What
stuff.
I'm
but
saying
point,
though,
it can
is
do
that
any.
There's probably a lot more things similar like that that aren't resource oriented.
Yeah, like increased glimmer drop chances they mentioned, and then I mean it could do any number of things.
Yeah, it's really exciting though to hear that they're gonna have different looking shells, like they talk about an orange one and different colors like that. And it's exciting to see that it's actually going to have an impact on the game. It's not just cosmetic like your ships.
Well, yeah. So that was one of the great things that other, again, I hate to bring it up all the time, but World of Warcraft. And your gear bonuses, like every single one, you had a lot more gear, right? Like there's 10 pieces total of gear, like including, you know, you had a neck piece, like rings, shoulder pieces that are separate from gloves, pants, and all that stuff. And all of those contributed to your character in different ways with stats and item bonuses and stuff. This is a good way for Destiny to kind of get towards that, like a little bit more customization, a little bit more itemization that you have to think about when you talk about your character. That's awesome to me. Use the ghost. Maybe start giving me bonuses on my, you know, speeder bike or my
XP,
other stuff. So
XP boost is definitely going to be
they
one.
Already
chance
mentioned
headshots.
Already mentioned that class items are going to have some sorts of bonuses on them as well. That's another opportunity for them to integrate
more
customization and stuff. This is cool. I'm liking it. Also, like, I'm one of those guys who has the Frontier shell for the ghost, and I think I'm cool for having it because everyone else's ghost is just white.
I have three. Like, there's three in my inventory for some reason. Maybe early on, I didn't understand what
you
I was
just
buying.
Kept buying it
so
over
I bought
and over
a
again.
Few, and I'm like, nothing's happening.
Well, you keep picking them up with each character at.
That's probably what it is.
It's still at the special orders.
Special orders,
NPC. But yeah, I mean. If there's more of them to collect, and if they do very different things, or if like there's one really rare one out there that does something really cool, like,
there's 9 slots for them, so I mean there has to be something going on.
Yeah, so that's actually they didn't say where you would get them though, did they?
No, not really.
So will they be drops? You know, like
maybe you have to revive dead ghosts.
Yeah, do you have to get blueprints, and you gotta
you know your class items are always just cosmetic. It'll be really nice when it actually has an effect, like when the future war cult and stuff like that.
That's been my biggest criticism of Destiny ever since the beginning. Is too much of the game is cosmetic, right? Like your ship is cosmetic. Like so much of the game is just cosmetic.
And they're changing that, thankfully.
And it looks pretty. That's great. The cosmetic element of it is done really well, but it'd be really cool if some of that stuff that we've invested so much time into actually gave us some sort of measurable qualitative bonus, which it seems like they're going to do with a lot of this stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Count me in.
The last note I had was don't dismantle anything on the Bungie Weekly Update. They did mention that they're going to be doing some live streams and explain why not to do that. So don't do that. But with that said, we are going to move on to a new topic.
Gee, I wonder if it's because they have a lot more vault space for you.
It's either going to be vault space or a new system.
Vault space, but then I'm sure there will be maybe some.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last episode in Germany. If you didn't watch it, it's an hour long. Half front is us with Bungie, and the back half is us guessing about what could happen. And
yeah,
definitely. Moving on today, Game Informer also had a really cool exclusive about the new Crucible maps, and I'm asking, are these new Crucible maps the best yet? They look really, really cool. I'm actually going
to
bring them up.
Hard to say.
I'm going
to
bring them up.
Having
and play
not
them
played
in the
them.
But they're looking really, really good so far.
So we're looking at Ghost Ship.
So this is Ghost Ship playing in the background. It is on the reef. There's a giant servitor in the middle of the room, and it's a narrow space with a lot of tight corners. It looks like a really, really exciting, fast-paced map. And also, if you guys go to Game Informer and watch these videos, it's exclusive to them. So
that's why it's in the background.
Yeah, that's why it's in the background.
It actually kind of reminds me of Midship.
Yeah, me too. There's one coming up a little later that really reminds me of Midship. It's actually the next one, Exile.
To answer your question, Destin, it's hard to say whether or not these are the best maps yet because
they look really
good. Literally only just seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. They only show you a small portion.
Time.
But yeah, the question's tough, but right, in general, what are you thinking?
I mean,
that looks cool. I want to play in the reef.
Yeah, I'm super down for, I mean, I've always said this, but like, I think the maps in terms of multiplayer needed to be more varied in terms of their settings. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a, in the House of Wolves DLC, there's this map, Widow's Court, which is like one of the only outdoors Russia Earth maps out there. And it's so cool looking because we've never played in a setting that looks anything like that.
Funny you mentioned that. We're looking at Exile right now, but there is one that is very Widow's Court-like. It's like a Widow's Court Asylum mix. It's called Memento. And it's in the Eastern European Dead Zone again. And so that video's done.
Wow, you guys just skipped right over Exile.
We'll come back to Exile. But Sean brought up,
it's like Hive get no love.
Sean
man.
Brought up Widow's Court, so this is the map that popped into my brain right away. Was Memento, which looks really, really cool, very Widow's Court, but it has like these really long alleyways that remind me of Asylum, and it gets me really excited to try out this
looks
map.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I like it just it, there's a lot of levels in this. Mm-hmm. You kind of saw. I think they were like shooting across like a big courtyard. And,
See, that's really cool. Is I think I mean one of the things that I really liked about the Halo map design was there was a lot of there's a great map balance between like close quarter stuff and then things like Hang 'em High where you're like on ramps and like platforms shooting across raised levels. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of that currently in Destiny, and I would love to see more of that. Yeah. So these look cool.
Moving back to Exile for just a second. This is the one that kind of reminded me of
Saturn.
Midship, not aesthetically, but like visually, because there's multiple levels and like you can throw grenades down in the corner of the map and stuff like that. This one has me really excited. All these maps, the four newest ones,
I think they look real nice.
Yeah, they have really neat design stuff going on that Bungie was definitely thinking about when creating
that one. Reminded me a little too much of Cauldron, which I hate. Mm-hmm. So.
You don't. Oh, I think that might just be the color.
No. It's not the color. It's like the layout.
Yeah, in this particular shot.
Yeah.
I hate Cauldron.
That like big center area.
I hate that Cauldron map. Where B is on that map is like, there's five entrances to that room. Like, how do you defend? It's terrible.
Well, but see, that one had a hole and you jump through the bottom.
Oh, I was about to ask that when you guys were watching that. Is how long until we see like elevators the way we did in Halo?
Yeah.
Like where you jump into and it shoots you up to the top floor.
That's a good point. Like we even saw with House of Wolves, you know, they introduced those elevators in there. So
we have man camps.
There's
a lot more of that. Meaning, I could see that being in there. I mean, also in Halo.
I thought you meant in multiplayer, but I was like,
not in multi. Yeah.
We have man cannons on Crossroads, which we played at E3. And,
what I was going to say though is we have seen the introduction of man cannons in the Mayhem and Rift stuffs that they've shown so far. Yeah. So maybe it's not that far away.
This final map we're going to look at is Vertigo. It's definitely my favorite. It's on Mercury. It's similar to Halo's Ascension and Lockout, or at least that's the vibe I got from it right away. And it has a portal in the back.
It looks like there's a lot of places to fall off.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to fall off, just like the maps that I mentioned. And there's a lot of sniper lines. It's going to be really, really interesting. There does seem to be a small internal area, so you can kind of take cover in various spots. But it's going to be pretty sniper heavy. I'd love to see like SWAT, like a SWAT game type. I know it's not in Destiny, but I think that'd be really, really fun on a map like this. Yeah.
A SWAT game type, huh? How would that work?
Well, I mean, it worked just like it does in Halo, basically.
No, but in Halo,
how does SWAT work exactly?
It's
in
just
Halo,
like
it's one shot headshots.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
No shields, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Halo, there's more players.
Well, in Halo, it takes, if you have shields, it actually takes a longer time to burst someone down than it does in Destiny.
True.
Mm. So, like, that's what I mean, is, like, TTK in Halo is greater than it is in Destiny, mm-hmm. so that makes SWAT a viable option because it's one shot, where Destiny is already a pretty low
super
TTK.
Powered. Yeah.
So it's like, what is, I don't know, I would have to think about what would make mm-hmm. SWAT work in Destiny.
Yeah, well, it's already one shot headshots with snipers, so.
Mm-hmm. Even just, like, yeah.
The other thing we wanted to talk about was zone control. This was briefly mentioned in the interview. And
well,
it's,
wait, what do you yeah. think of the maps? Like,
oh, I love the new maps. Yeah. I thought I made that pretty clear. But
yeah, no, I yeah. felt like we kind of looked at each one. I think you can tell they've spent a lot of time on these. Whereas
there's eight also. There's four we didn't show because they've already been showing at Gamescom and E3 or on our live show. I was trying to show the four new ones.
So this is something that's mm-hmm. weird because as an Xbox player, I'm always wary of when they say how many of things are coming. Mm-hmm. I've heard it was seven, and then they've confirmed eight.
Yeah.
But I heard a number seven out there somewhere. Does that mean
I think
there's one's exclusive?
PlayStation exclusive.
God.
Yeah.
Is that right? I'll yeah. be honest.
Well, because
know.
Remember, they also, like, someone asked Deej, like, how many strikes are there? And he goes, three, maybe four. And they're like, yeah. is that three or four? And he goes, three or four.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
That sounds like that is the way
it's
to get around
like
talking about
on
which
PlayStation,
which.
Three
yeah.
for
yeah.
Xbox.
That's what they're doing. And you play on
Such
Xbox,
a bummer,
so you kind of get the short end of the stick, so to
Such
speak.
Such a bummer. Like, yeah. as someone who plays a lot of Destiny, I've said this, and I probably will continue to say this.
If that's the case, we should double check. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should
just
be clear.
Just knowing that there's more content out there that I don't get to experience because I chose to play on a different platform, that is a major bummer.
Yeah, well, remember, the idea is that PlayStation is bringing it to you and has paid for this, right?
Yeah, but so. I mean, who suffers there? Well, only the players,
yeah,
right?
No, for sure.
Like,
but you're
the companies
right, they
benefit.
Allow that
Bungie
to exist.
Gets, yeah, Bungie gets right. money for making a deal with Activision. Mm-hmm. Activision gets money from probably PlayStation yeah. for locking down an exclusive. And
yeah,
they drive more sales for one particular
the...
game or platform.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not...
And who suffers? The Xbox players.
That's right. Hey, don't ruin our angles.
We didn't look at it today, but Sector 618 is the PlayStation 4 exclusive map.
Sorry, what?
Sector 618, one of the maps
oh,
that was
that map's
in E3.
Cool.
That's the one that's
oh,
PlayStation
great. I'm
exclusive.
Glad I get to play that
we
one.
Yeah, that at E3.
It'll, in a year, dude. So,
oh, great. Cool.
Yeah,
so once I've spent a year grabbing my Hawk Moon, which you guys have already had for a year.
Oh, that's okay. It's not good anymore. Anyway.
So
see,
annoying.
The game
so, yeah.
will be fresher for you a year mm-hmm. later than it is for us. We're all jaded and spoiled. So it's like it's almost like a fine wine that you keep in the cellar, but we're drinking it too soon. You see?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting a
Where's
finally...
Where's your Activision check? Is it under your phone?
You're getting a finely yeah. aged Crucible map. just messing around. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not defending that that's the right way to design games. I was just saying that logically the explanation is you wouldn't have gotten it at all, but PlayStation has paid for it.
Yeah.
That's how they explain
That's
it.
Why it's happening. We
Meaning,
know that,
right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I can't fault Activision or Sony or any of these people for making the deal because it clearly benefits them, but I do think it's somewhat cynical that everyone's cool with it because it's the gamer who pays for it and not
yeah.
them.
It is, yeah. totally. That's a
like,
whole
conversation.
Like, who suffers
there?
That's
it's
a whole conversation
me.
We get into on another episode because you have a valid point.
Yeah.
But I do want to hit on a few other things, so we'll save it for another episode, okay?
Deal.
All right.
Xbox One for life.
We want to talk about Zone Control, which is the new multiplayer mode
You're
that we have.
Crushing it, Guardian.
So we've heard of Mayhem, All Powers All the Time, Rift, which is Capture the Flag, and now we're hearing about Zone Control, which is a new mode where your kills don't really matter, but you're supposed to help control sections of the map with your teammates. What do you guys think of something like that?
I think it's hard to say without seeing it in practice because mm-hmm. what I thought they already did interestingly with the control mode that's in there is mm-hmm. like it's not like domination in Call of Duty where it's entirely like point focused. Like you can win control holding one point the whole time as long as you kill them more, right?
Yeah.
Like you're, it works as a multiplayer, the multiplier. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The more, like when you know, if you are holding one point and you get a kill, it's 100 points. But if you're holding 2 points and you get a kill, it's 200 points. So it works like a multiplier. Multiplier.
Jeez,
having a problem saying
he's
that.
He's trying to say multiplier.
Yeah. with this, like negating the kills entirely seems like it's going to make it King of the Hill base, where it seems to me like the point will move, right? Mm-hmm. Like either it's one point that
moves.
Of course,
they're not just going to like lock you into one spot. I wouldn't think anyway.
Well, there's a couple of different ways it could be implemented, right? Like it could still be control, like where there's 3 points on the map, right?
And you got to like, force a team out of.
Yeah, or like, I don't know if you played the Halo 5 beta, but they have a very similar control mode where there's three or four points, or there's actually, I think there's 5 points if my memory serves. But because there's so many points, like there's constant moving back and forth trying to control and take points, because the more points you have, the faster your team gains points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's an incentive to want to hold more. But, and it creates a very active moving play style, because it's like, even if you're not fighting someone or defending a point, there's always that like, hey, I could go grab another one that's undefended right now. Or it could be one singular point that moves around the map, King of the Hill style.
Oh, that'd
you
be
have
great.
To,
I would really like that.
You know,
yeah, just like one.
Yeah,
know,
like you jump in there and if you can hold it for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it moves, and then you can keep the team holding there when they capture it only to 10 seconds, and it's timer based.
Mm-hmm.
That could be really interesting too. But again, it's hard to say with knowing so few details.
Mm-hmm. We'll know very shortly.
Basically, they just mention it. I'm really excited about, you know, we've heard about three of the new modes. They all seem really cool. Like maybe there's another one that's going to come along.
We got Mayhem, Rift, and
Zone Control. Yeah. Maybe there will be a
control.
Fourth. I don't know. That might be it, but it's great that they're tinkering
with
the
honestly, new modes, super welcome in PvP. Mm-hmm. Even just the addition of, like, Inferno Clash and Inferno Control and stuff. Like, it's the same maps and the same mode, except now you're playing without radar. Like, that drastically changes the play style.
Yeah, I like
and I think that's
radar.
Really awesome.
As brutal as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play a lot more conservatively. It's like you can't just run. Like a lot of people run around at full speed, just glancing at the radar.
That gameplay mode.
Why?
It's just super frustrating. It's like, all right, I'm running that. I'm dead.
Yeah,
that was partially
shotgun.
Check your corners.
Yeah,
that
man.
Was a big shotgun.
My corners.
Problem,
it's just shotgun city. That's all it is. Shotguns and snipers.
But I think as they balance that out a bit, it would help. But anyway, they have. These are welcome additions. I think out of the three.
Rift's my favorite.
Probably,
Capture the Flag,
I'm probably most excited about Rift.
I haven't played Rift yet. I'm down for it because Capture the Flag modes look awesome all the time in multiplayer.
Similar.
But,
and you can backflip and dunk it.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, having supers all the time is it's a lot of fun.
It's like 45 seconds. It's 45 seconds.
Well, that's what
seconds.
I'm saying is I prefer Mayhem.
Yeah. Oh, you're
so
excited
we're Rift.
About that. Yeah.
We got two for Rift, one for Mayhem.
Yeah. But I haven't played Rift yet, so I have to reserve judgment. And, of course, Capture the Flag modes are cool.
Yeah. We have to move on to the final subject, and
we
that
have
is
to?
Well, we don't have to.
No, we should.
Did you have another point?
No, we should. I have nothing.
Okay, so this week in Destiny, Xur sold Galahorn. This is something we talked about a lot on the show. I thought he would never sell it again.
Should have placed bets. We probably did.
No.
Yeah, you
I
owe me a steak dinner. I just remember.
No. No, that did not happen.
Actually, I think I remember too. You
owe
me a steak dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so weird. Here's all my money. No, I'm just kidding. So my question is, if he's selling Galahorn again, something we never thought would happen or many of us thought would never happen, does that mean it's going to be like not as good as it used to be? Is it going to be like just one of those old weapons that – remember when the Galahorn was good?
No, because for starters, it doesn't change the weapon payload and like how
well, they're changing that too. They're
yes,
nerfing the wolf.
Yes, but that's what changes it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't change
it. So maybe they're going to like
reduce it. Changes the amount of people that are allowed to use LFG for starters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, it's going to be like, do you have Dreg's Promise? Nobody's going to ask that.
Yeah,
yeah.
There will be like a new coveted gun that you have to have.
There will be. They're always going to have that problem. And they're constantly trying to rebalance and everything.
But I think for starters, like honestly for me, it had nothing to do with the weapon effectiveness. Mm-hmm. It's really about. How does it affect you as a player? It took me
as a person
until my birthday, believe it or not. I got it like the minute into my birthday, practically.
Really?
I've told this before.
That's
it's
awesome.
A long
no,
time
know
ago.
That.
Yeah. When I got Galahorn, because Fatebringer was different.
You were in Hawaii for your birthday. You
brought
your PlayStation 4.
No. It was like Destiny. Literally, it was February 26th, playing into February 27th. And someone was like, yo, you want to go hit up this Gorgon chest? And I was like, ugh. Right? Because I was so frustrated by then.
Yeah.
6 months or 5 or 6 months after
like,
it's out. And yeah, boom, it opened up and I got it. But anyway, the point is the quest and frustration to get it when you finally get it, it is so special.
Yeah.
That is what has made a lot of the drops so fun because you get a powerful gun that's highly coveted. And it is hard to get. And that's why the RNG system still needs to be special and difficult, but balanced right. And my point is, does this just piss you off because you...
No.
Now my Xbox character has one, so I'm good.
So I put my... That's what I did when I woke up this morning and learned the news. I said, whoa, I was like, oh, darn it. I'm not like as special anymore. For those who can buy it. And remember, there's a ton of people who are just not playing yet or they're out of town and they're like really pissed too. But the point is... At first, I was upset because I want to stay like special for the many hours that it took to get it. Then I took a second and I was like, wait, if I was still trying to roll Gjallarhorn a year after, I would be ready to like throw this game in the fire and denounce Taken King as like the worst thing in the world before I ever played it because like my frustration would be so high. So I said, you know what? It's good that they're selling it.
You know what?
One time.
This says to me that Bungie can totally control Xur's inventory.
Yeah.
There is no way this is a coincidence.
Well, they did.
No, they've said they cannot control Xur's inventory many times.
You know it's not a real world, right? Xur's fake. They
you know
make
Bungie
him do what he...
Scale.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Well, then why are they...
They wrote the code.
I know
that. He's joking
that Bungie has said multiple times they can't control Xur's inventory. You're lying. There is no way this is a coincidence.
I don't recall them ever saying they can't.
I could find the quote. You guys
discuss.
Justin,
we believe
you. But even then, the point was the work to do it, right? And by the way, maybe that was part of this recent little update they did that you know you can rotate your gear now in inspection. Maybe they rolled out the ability to control that. But no, I think they always could have, and it was more of a choice that they
it was built
they had
to
a philosophy
be,
not to.
It was built to be algorithmic, obviously, and then sometimes when there's issues, they have to fix it, and they have the ability to do that. Why would you build something that you can't control in a game? It doesn't make sense. Point is, I don't think it's a bad thing that Xur is selling it. People who think that it's a bad thing that Xur is selling a weapon because it somehow devalues the hard work you put into the game in order to get it, those are the people who hate it when their favorite bands make it mainstream. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you spend a lot of time and have a memorable acquiring Gjallarhorn experience, how is that diminished by the fact that some other person who you don't know can now buy it from Xur? It doesn't make sense to me.
The quote is, Xur is randomized. There are times when we can pull off miracles like making him stay in the tower longer when Christmas is canceled, but his inventory is governed by the same chaos, and then the quote went away, by the same chaos of the rest of the game.
So they didn't say that they didn't control it.
The same chaos that influences all loot drops.
So they implied
that
they didn't have control, but they did.
So. Whatever. But that's like lying to somebody and then saying like, well, I didn't explicitly say. Well, you still murdered somebody.
That's like saying like you call me up. You're like, yo, you want to go out? Like, oh, I can't right now. And you're like, all right. And then like you find out like I was out with some friends just hanging out. And it's like, you're right, I couldn't because I was out with somebody else. Like, right? It's one of those types of situations.
Yeah. Destin.
That being said, I will say that, and thankfully there's still a few of these guns, right? Like Fourth Horseman, Necrochasm, anything else that you can't get through Xur that we know so far. Just Fourth Horseman and Necrochasm.
Well, you could get that on the 15th, Fourth Horseman. Necrochasm, though, you need to drop from Crota, so
how are you
to,
getting
like,
the Fourth Horseman on the 15th? What do you mean?
Well, it's going to be on both platforms, so why couldn't you just buy it?
No, well, you can only get Fourth Horseman through a drop. So what I'm saying is...
Right now, because it's PlayStation exclusive, when those PlayStation exclusive items are no longer exclusive, I don't know why Xur couldn't have it.
Well,
you can't get
Thorn
from Xur.
Again, this isn't a can or can't. I'm just saying he has never sold Fourth Horseman, so it's super special.
Yeah.
He does not sell
Thorn Necrochasm. Would be a better example. Thorn and Necrochasm.
Yeah, but even though you're going to get the bounties, like they're there. But my point is there are a selection of very special guns that you can't get through him.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is where all this leads, right? Like there will now be more than one gun that you are not going to get from Xur.
Queen's Bow, Drake's Promise, and the other ones.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of new exotics in Taken King, I'm sure. And then there's going to be a handful of them that you just are not going to see for maybe another year.
Yeah.
And so,
I think it's a good thing because
it's a railgun.
I still think Gjallarhorn is going to be. It's still an exotic. It's still going to be very coveted. It depends on how many exotics and
it will
what
be
capacity all the new ones are going to be. But I still think it's going to be one of the best ones out there.
I think it's going to be a top three heavy weapon still.
Yeah. I think it's still going to be up there for
maybe
a while.
Maybe top five at the worst.
I think something's going to dethrone it. I think they've planned this, and they're specifically trying.
2.0.
They're trying to design weapons. Like, they have a fusion rifle heavy that we saw.
Yeah, the railgun.
Yeah, and maybe that's going to dethrone Gal. Maybe not that one, but that's a step in the right direction.
That's really cool to me because I think I brought this up to Fran before when we were talking back at Gamescom, but I would love to see different heavy, or I would love to see more heavy weapon types. Like, currently we just have rocket launchers and we have machine guns, which are cool. Yeah. I mean, both of them are cool, but I want like a Gatling laser.
Right.
Like from Fallout, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like my all-time favorite gun. Or like,
do you want the slow motion effect too?
Like, imagine that, a Gatling laser.
Yeah.
Spartan laser from Halo 3.
That'd be
cool. Give me something like that.
Like something super powerful, one-shot charge.
It's like a fusion rifle. It takes a long time to charge, but it one-shots everything and destroys everything.
That'd be great.
That would be cool.
Guys, we are a little over. Sorry, Sean, to interrupt you.
Yeah, it's all right, Destin. I'm used to it.
I have to. Otherwise,
we'll end if we go over. No, I mean, it's true.
We all have schedules
a lot
to keep. We got work to do. Thank you
for joining
us.
A commenter once told me that I dominated the conversation and that my voice was annoying, so maybe I should taper off a little
sooner. Oh, yeah.
I was not saying that at all.
Oh, no, you were the commenter, Destin.
I do have a few alt accounts. No, I'm just kidding. Fran, usually you plug stuff here. Would you like to plug anything?
Absolutely. As always, be sure to find us on your local podcast review and drop us a review. You can watch us as well, of course, on IGN, YouTube, the PS4 app that IGN has, as well as our Xbox One app. And, you know, if you want to catch a snazzy T-shirt, then head over to go.ign.com/store. Is that right?
Yep.
And pick up a Fireteam Chat T-shirt.
A tat.
That's like a tongue twister. Tat. That's the second time I've done
get a Fireteam Tat.
It is
a T-shirt.
Destiny that somebody's got to get a Fireteam Chat Tat. And that's it for
Sean, you got anything to plug?
Follow me on Twitter at I'm Finnegan. Add me on Xbox Live, Finnegan Space II. I play a lot of PvP, always needing people for Trials and Crucible and Iron Banana, so hit me up.
And you can hit me on Twitter at Destin Legarry. And until next time, thank you for joining us.
Guardians out.
Oh, wow, I screwed that up.
Let's do it again.
All right. God. 3, 2, 1. Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.